And so I just wanted to let you know we have intercessors that will be praying and decreeing the word that the Lord has given to them. Our elders will be sharing the word of the Lord for 2021 for the River of Life ministry and the church in general. And so we are excited to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning. And we also want to welcome this morning Lori and Rick Boyd. They are from up in Michigan, and they are ordained Christian International ministers, and we are so thankful to have them here in the service today. And Lori is going to bless us this morning with her gift of worship, and so we just want to unite in one by God's Spirit to pull on the anointing so that we can hear what the Lord is saying to us. Because God has a word for each one of us, and He wants to bring clarity and hope into our souls today. So let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Yes. We glorify Your name, Lord. We magnify Your name this morning. And I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Jay at this time.
Amen. Good morning, River of Life. We are in the final Sunday of 2020. Thank God. We are ready to put this year behind us. Amen. And we are excited for some great things happening in 2021. Regardless of the world's plans, they don't measure up to God's plan. Amen. And that's the only plan we need to worry about following. He'll take care of the rest of the world. We follow Him. Amen. It is a blessing to be here this morning with you again to worship and praise our Lord as the River of Life does. And it's just awesome to be able to do that together as one. Amen. So if you would please rise with me as we say our worship prayer and lead into praise and worship. Lord, I choose to praise and worship You. You know how to break the chains that bind me. I choose not to be overwhelmed by my obstacles, but to trust You to carry me over and through them. Blessed be Your name. Great is Your faithfulness. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. You are my victorious God. I will praise Your name all the days of my life. Lord, teach me to ascend to Your throne room in worship and then descend back to the harvest field here on earth, declaring Your victory to all the earth and in every area of my life. I want to live a lifestyle of worship. I believe in the power of worship. I offer You a sacrifice of praise right now in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. Amen. If you would, think about the first line in that second paragraph of that prayer. We need to ascend to His throne room in worship. And that means to almost leave where we're at right here as we stand and be in His presence, surrounded by Him, praising His mighty name. What that does is that gives us the power, the energy, and the resources that we need from God to come back and reach those here on earth. Amen. So it's almost, in a way, we're like leaving this place for the next half hour, 40 minutes. And we're going to spend some time in God's presence, praising His mighty name. And He, in turn, is going to give us the tools that we need to carry out through this next week and into this new year. Amen. So take advantage of this time of praise and worship. And especially this morning, it's going to be very special. Amen. O come, all you faithful.
Come ye, oh come ye to bed. Today, we are lighting the Christ candle, and our scripture reads from Luke 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth and to Galilee, to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be his married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Imagine the difficulties of this young couple. Having traveled over a great distance, they find themselves out on the street. We can only imagine that they were exhausted, discouraged, nerves on edge, and hope running thin. They must have been wondering if God was going to provide a place for them. And according to the scripture, we know that God does, and probably in a way they never expected. You might be facing impossible situations in your life at this time. We agree and decree that God will pull you through that hard time in a way you never expected. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this year you have given us. We ask that in 2021, you would give us the full blessings of the hope that Jesus Christ promised our River of Life family. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, and help us to keep him at the center of our lives. And Father, we just thank you for this gorgeous day. And we thank you, Lord, that you've brought us all here together. And Father, we know that you are with us. And that everything that we have been through in 2020, you have brought us where we are. And Lord, we just love you for that. And Lord, we know that 2021, that you will be at the center of our lives. And we appreciate and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Jay.
us this morning. He wants to meet with each and every one of us individually and as a church. Take this time. Give him the thanks that he deserves and the praise that he deserves as our one true and almighty God. Amen. Thank you.
Praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. so great, God. Great are you, Lord. There's no one like you, you're so great. Great are you, Lord. So great, God. Great.
Shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Isaiah 60:1-2. Heavenly Father, we lift up our hands to you in prayer. Lord, we thank you for manifesting your mighty miracles throughout the body of Christ. We thank you for salvation, which is the greatest miracle of all. We thank you, Father, for your presence at the River of Life. You said in your word that you would make all of your goodness pass before us, and that you would proclaim before us your name, the Lord. We thank you for being so gracious to us, and for showing us your mercy. We thank you, God, that your word says to ask and it will be given. Therefore, we ask that you will show us your glory, God. May you also prepare each of us for all that you have in store for our church, and that your glory may dwell within us. God, teach us how to walk in your glory, that you may dwell in us and flow through us at the River of Life. Father, according to your own will, you ministered with signs and wonders, various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we expect miracles to manifest during our times of worship. Lord, just as you brought Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and outstretched arm, so we believe that you will manifest your glory here at the River of Life. Lord Jesus, as you perform so many miracles during your ministry, we rejoice that you said that we would do even greater works than you did, because you were going to the Father and were sending the Holy Spirit. We expect to have personal encounters with you in our church and private lives. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare that the River of Life is a kingdom church filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We decree and declare that the River of Life will walk as a sign and wonder on this earth and in this territory. We decree and declare that your marvelous works will follow us, so that people will come to you confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you that every member of the River of Life will have a one-on-one encounter with you, so that they will have a testimony of your power, authority, love, grace, healing, and deliverance. We decree and declare that our church lives in the realm of continual suddenlies, God surprises, signs, wonders, and miracles. Living in the supernatural is the biblical will of God for the River of Life and for our lives. We will overflow with the miracles of God. We decree and declare that the glory of God is about to shine on the River of Life and give an even greater power and authority of heaven. Yes, Lord. Everyone who comes into this house will know that the manifested glory of the Lord dwells here. We decree and declare that the people who come into this house will see the true conquerors come forth as blessed and highly favored of the King himself. They will be equipped with the weapons of warfare, and even the wealth of the wicked will be given over to them to bring forth the will of the Almighty God. We decree and declare that the manifested glory of God is shining forth on his people at the River of Life, and that the glory of the Lord will shine on and overtake them, and therefore others will know that they have been in the presence of the Lord. Just like Moses cried out to see the glory of the Lord, we cry out and ask for you, Lord, to let your manifested glory fall on the River of Life. Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. Isaiah 54:2 from the Message Bible. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. You are going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Job 22:28. Lord, you gave us authority to decree a thing, and it shall be established. So I hereby decree the word of the Lord that our family at the River of Life will grow and expand with no elbow room left in 2021. Our tents are prepared, our doors are open, and your people are willing to seek and serve the lost. I declare the harvest fields are ready, and many will run to the house of the Lord here at the river. And we will partake and witness one of the great awakenings, for it is your will that none be lost. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done at the River of Life in Elkhart. I thank you, Lord, in advance for answering my decree and my declaration, for your people at the river are ready to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus.
stand beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life.
The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John 4:23-24, New King James Version. Lord, even as the hour is coming, and now is, let us worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Help us to know your truth that sets not only us free, but also any held in bondage or captivity. Take us to a new level as we worship you corporately in total surrender. Father, we know there is great power in unified worship, unlocking doors that have been locked, setting free what was held in bondage, taking down strongholds that have been established. We decree the river of life will walk in the Spirit, in truth, corporately as one body. We decree, God, how great thou art as we walk in the garden with you, singing praise, for we know that our God saves.
Isaiah 11:2, taken from the Passion Bible. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the Spirit of extraordinary wisdom, the Spirit of perfect understanding, the Spirit of wise strategy, the Spirit of mighty power, the Spirit of revelation, and the Spirit of fear and reverence of Yahweh. In the book, The Sevenfold Spirit of God, the author says, each of these great flows of the precious Holy Spirit is available to every believer. God desires us to see every function and expression of the sevenfold Spirit of God in and through our lives. We decree the floodgates of these functions will be open, wide, and overflowing. We decree extraordinary wisdom for the coming days, perfect understanding of God's plans and purposes, and wise strategy to carry out these plans, mighty power as mighty warriors, and revelation of each person's part in your plan, Father God, along with the spirit of fear and reverence of you, Lord. We decree these rivers will flow in a mighty way through our congregation throughout the year, infusing their hearts, their minds, and their souls with the sevenfold Spirit of God. We decree an increase of the knowledge of God and the many dimensions of his character that comes from experiencing intimacy with God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalms 19:7-8. The law of the Lord is perfect, convicting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Lord, your law is perfect. You, Lord, convict our souls. I declare that you, Lord, recognize the actions of your children. I decree that as we, your church, are converted, as we are changing into your likeness, Lord, through the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that the testimony of our lives be witness to those around us, showing those who see us, they see you through us. Lord, you make the simple man wise through your words. The Bible gives us our handbook. It changes us, making us into your image. I pray that those who see us know the simple man is made wise through your word. Lord, your statutes are your written word, your written law, and letters to us, the church, show us how to live. You, Father God, show us how to live a righteous and joyful life, with rejoicing hearts, wanting to please you, Lord, our Father God. Lord, I declare and decree your commandments are unwavering, unchanging. You enlighten our souls, giving your church through your word greater knowledge and understanding. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us. Thank you, Father, for opening our eyes and enlightening our spirit man within us. As a father loves his children, thank you for correcting us and chastening us. We are your children. We love you, Father God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Healing every heart.
stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop 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 working. You never stop, 'cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for never stopping your work, always working for us. There's been a question that's been on my mind ever since we started this morning, and that question is, what is your part? And I believe that that question is being asked for this coming year. 2020 is almost behind us. What's done is done. It's in the past. We leave that behind. We remember our mistakes and we learn from them, but we leave them behind. We don't carry them with us into 2021. And as we end this year and begin a new one, God is asking, He's asking me at least, what is your part? And I believe that has a lot to do with this church, right here in this city. What is our part? And I've asked the question before, what are we doing in our community or for our community to build it up, to build us up as a church? Because from day one, and I've said this before as well, we were planted here for a reason. Each and every single one of us here this morning is here in this building, at this church, for a reason. And I don't think that all of us have realized what that reason is yet. And that's okay. God will reveal it to each one of us in the right time as part of His plan. But in the meantime, you need to ask yourself, what is your part? And that doesn't come from up here. God delivers that here. And through here, He gives us the knowledge to carry that plan out for our part. No matter how small, how big it might turn out to be, that's up to God. It's up to us to listen, to trust in Him, and to carry out that part of His plan. Don't be satisfied with mediocrity. Don't be satisfied with coming in here every Sunday morning, getting a few songs in, hearing a word, and then leaving and then forgetting about it and going about your week. That's not why we are here. We come here every Sunday to recharge our batteries, to hear from our Heavenly Father that He needs to put that word into us. It's nothing that we can get from the outside world. We can listen to all the radio stations, all the messages from who knows what, planting seeds in our mind that may or may not be part of God's plan. But when we listen and we take all of that away and we listen and focus on Him and what He is giving to us, that's what we need. So here this morning, as we close out 2020, let that be the question that's in your mind. And it doesn't have to be answered today. God will answer it for us in the right time, in the right place. And that may be a multiple part question. You may have more than one part to play. But what is your part? This church needs all of us. We can't function to the level that we are capable of unless we have everybody on board. Do some soul searching, because none of us have given what we truly are capable of giving. And I'm not just talking about financially, I'm talking about spiritually, I'm talking about physically. In this next year, in 2021, do your part. What is your part? And when God delivers that to you, take it and run with it. Don't let it sit. A seed doesn't grow if you just set it aside and let it be. It has to be watered. It has to be cared for. Don't let opportunities pass us by. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you to call you not just my friends, but my church family. Every single one of you are here for a reason. Chris, you and Carla are here for a reason. Elders Jim and Carol, you're here for a reason. Shirley, you're here for a reason. Tim and Leslie. Marie, the Moore family. Some of you have been here since the very beginning. But it doesn't matter how long you've been here. What matters is that you're here. Amen. Pastor Mario, you are here for a reason. We thank God for blessing us in this church with you and your ministry. What is your part? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for each other. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the opportunities that you have given us. Give us, Lord, the tools and the resources that we need to carry out your plan. And when the time is right, Lord, reveal to us what our part is in this journey. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless us in this coming year. We ask that you walk this walk with us. And when it's the right times along the way, reveal to us exactly what it is that we are to do. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the River of Life congregation. We thank you for the community of Elkhart for being here as part of your plan. We love you, Lord. We praise your mighty name. And the church said, amen. Pastor Jim.
You may be seated this morning. Just stay in a prayerful, prayerful heart. And we're going to get ready to hear from our elders the word of the Lord that God has given them for 2021 for our church. And also, I'm going to ask Lori Boyd if she'll come on down and share with the church. For our 24th anniversary, she gave us a proclamation. And I wanted her to share that with you this morning. It so blessed Apostle Leonard and I, and really witnessed to our hearts. And just if she would just expound on that a little bit. And then right after her, we have Elder Sylvia coming. So go right ahead.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. So the Lord always speaks, and I can't resist to trumpet and proclaim what he says. And When I heard that there was the 24-year anniversary for River of Life, the Lord just started talking away, and I was very excited, so I wrote it down for the two of you. And I'm just going to read these, and then there was a couple of things that the Lord expounded just the last night when you said that I could expound a little bit. So this is what I heard the Lord say for River of Life for the 24-year anniversary, but also this now applies for 2021. Amen. It's exciting. How many of you are excited about 2021? Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Awesome. So Apostles Leonard and Janet, for your proclamation, for completing 24 years in ministry, and beginning 2021, I hear the Lord say, this is the year of full circle or double. So double full circle. I heard a double full circle. And so, and then I also heard the Lord say, this is the year of fullness of time, and it's a new day on the next level. So you guys have all leveled up, and you know when the leadership levels up, what does that mean? You all level up at the same time. And so what I heard the Lord additionally say for the rest of the congregation was, do what you're trained to do with no delay. Do what you're trained to do with no delay. You are absolutely needed. The community is waiting for you. You're more than equipped. I know this house has made you fat with equipping. Amen. Right? Right? Do what you're trained to do with no delay. The Lord says this is double time. This is double time. So you're going to do it faster than you ever thought you were going to do it. This is the time to have compassion. The Lord's going to stir a compassion in you for the condition of the world. You're going to have a kind of like a brokenness when you think about the community out there. And that's really going to help you get out and in to the midst of them, because you're going to have such a compassion in you. Whatever is calling your heart to them out there, that's what you're called to do. Amen. So there's a compassion that the Lord is building, and it's going to move you to action. Amen. And the Lord said also that there's spiritual warfare that you're all called to. It is not just the prayer team. Amen. I want a loud amen. Come on. Amen. Every household is going to be wielding a sword. Amen. It's really important. You're going to be, whether you want to or not, you're going to need to do it. Because God is calling on you in this community to restrain evil. He's calling you to stand up in the gates, and you're going to see this flood coming. You're going to be like, no, you're not going to come here. But it's going to take all of you standing in your house, in your houses, building the Nehemiah wall. Amen? That's what God's calling you to do. And so once you're restraining the evil, the Lord says that you're going to subdue with good works. The Bible says overcome evil with good. So all of these good ideas that are bubbling up in you that you didn't have the courage to do, the Lord says you better do it, and it's double time. Amen? The Lord is also saying you are living up to your name. You're living up to your name. You bring healing to the nations. He said that. He says you're living. It's not you're going to live up to your name. You are living up to your name. River of life. You're living up to your name. Life is flowing from this place. He says that your source is the throne of God. So you're never going to dry up. You're never going to cry up. Amen. The source is the throne of God, and he just flows through this place. So you don't have to worry about that. The Lord also says there's new partnerships springing up. And they're springing forth, and the Lord says they're from old plantings and from seeds sown. So all of those times you spent with people that you didn't hear from for several years, get ready for some phone calls. Amen. Get ready for some time that you spent with people years ago to pay off. The Lord says that partnerships are going to spring forth. There are times that you sowed, and the Lord is going to cause those plantings to bear fruit in this season. The Lord also says that the pump has been primed. Let him flow. His power will be seen through all who are willing. All of you, if you're willing. The Lord wants to release his power through you, every single one of you. He's already primed the pump for you. So get ready. He's about ready to flow through you. And you might have five people, but guess what? If one of them falls down to the ground and dies, you're going to raise him from the dead. Amen? That's the kind of power he's going to release through you. You're stepping into that. Do you believe that right now? And finally, this is the final word from the Lord. The Lord says, rejoice! Woo! The joy of the Lord is your strength, and you will have new joy as you go forth in this season. So God bless you all for 24 years in ministry. God bless you for your faithfulness, double time. All of your efforts are springing forth, and you'll never go dry, says the Lord. So bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone, and I want to thank Pastor Jay for speaking the word that the Lord had given me. But I'll touch on that. Isaiah 55. Isaiah was calling the people to come. He was calling them, come. If you're thirsty, come. If you're hungry, come. He's speaking of salvation, but what the Lord gave me was, we are already a church, and like Lori said, we have already been fed a lot, and so it's way past time for us to go out. So Isaiah offers free nourishment that feeds our soul. We come, listen, seek, and call on God. God's salvation is freely offered, but to nourish our souls, we must eagerly receive it. We will strive, starve spiritually without this food, as surely as we will starve physically without our daily bread. In other words, Isaiah was saying, and the Lord is telling his church, that if you don't get in line with him, you will starve, you will get weak. So we need God, and we need each other. Amen. This is what the Lord is saying. God is saying to us as the church, the ecclesia, we are his church, his ecclesia, come, come, who are thirsty spiritually. Spiritual thirst. Come, eat, drink of the best of me. Listen with greater sharpness of listening to his voice. We are to give ear. He is making a greater covenant with his church. In other words, covenant means he's making a greater promise to the church. He makes us witnesses. We are to speak and come near to him at a greater level. In other words, 2020 may have been a rough road for everybody. And we've come into bumps and gone up hills and down the valley. But the Lord is saying, to come closer to him. Let 2020 behind you. Walk away from it. Step away from it. And enter into 2021 with a new vision, a new heart, a new perspective. And I hear the Lord say that we are coming into a new season. It's not just a new year. It's a new season that the church is coming into. The Lord says our thoughts are not his thoughts, nor our ways his ways. We should strive to be more like him. God wants us to fit our plans into his plans. He wants to be first in our lives, to be number one. God wants us to place him number one no matter what we're going through. We need to set him first above all and everything and everyone around us. The Lord's God wants us in 2021 totally to look totally to Him. It's in Him that we will find rest. We will find joy. Then we will burst into rejoicing. It's in Him that we will burst into rejoicing. The Lord says that instead of shame, we will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, we will rejoice in His inheritance. We have a great inheritance in the Lord, and we need to rejoice. We need to be obedient. We need to be faithful in Him. The Lord loves justice and hates robbery and iniquity. He will reward faithfulness. The Lord wants us to go deeper in Him. So in 2021, the Lord wants us to go deeper in Him.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a word.
Can I speak a word to someone?
No.
Not yet.
No. If you have a word to speak to someone, have them meet you after church.
Oh.
I hear the Lord saying for our church, I know that this past year has been a challenging one for my children. I am pleased with the way that you have adjusted your schedules to make prayer and intercession and time with me a priority. This has been a time of training and preparation for the year ahead. The coming year will require the same focus and commitment to spending time with me. Deeper relationship with me is what I long for from each of you. That is what will build up your faith for the coming year's battles. Draw near to me. Listen to my voice. Obey me. Spend time in my word. Continue to pray and intercede for the nation, for the church, and for your family. Continue in the assembling of yourselves together to build each other up and to be built up yourselves. Worship me. Continue to make decrees to bind the enemy's plans and to loose my plans for you and for the church. Be bold in sharing me in the marketplace. Tell people how much I love them and that the tragedies and evil that have come forth in this past year are not from me, but I am using them to draw people to me. You will see that there is a growing hunger for me all around you. This year will be a time for you and for this church to experience great victories and blessings and provision and to see many salvations and many answers to prayer as you remain strong in your faith and commitment to walk with me. And as John says in John 11:40, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So do not fear what lies ahead. Keep your eyes on me and trust me, and you will see my glory.
Amen. River of Life family, or the Spirit of the Lord say, I'm taking you to a deeper relationship with me in this new year. For it is in me only that you find your purpose, destiny, and fulfillment. As you have persevered through 2020 and not turned away from me, you have positioned yourselves to receive my protection, blessing, favor, grace, and mercy. I need you to continue in 2021 to stand with me because I have plans for you that no man can stop. My plans for your life will be accomplished. I know what will bring you joy and peace in this new year, for I have made you in your mother's womb. I created you. I know you better than you do. I know better than you do what you need and what will bring fulfillment and joy. My plans for your life are what your heart longs for. Because you remained faithful and did not turn away from me in 2020, the enemy's plans for you are being destroyed. New doors of opportunity are being opened. 2020 was a test, and you passed the test. You will look back on this time and see how I protected you and kept you safe, for it was the enemy's plan to destroy you. But I have been watching over you. I have heard your cries to me. I have understood your pain, and I have seen every tear. Thank you for not walking away from me. Now, you are to look forward to what is ahead with expectation of my good plans for you. Expectation keeps you positioned to receive, for I'm doing a new thing that you have never seen before. What is ahead is something that your earthly mind can't even imagine. For when my Shekinah glory is poured out, there will be signs, wonders, and miracles that you have not experienced before. And in Malachi 4:2, it says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and leap like calves released from the stall." So my prayer for you this day, I'm praying for you this day as an elder, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, I just pray you pour your peace into each person's heart, that peace that passes understanding. Thank you, God.
As I prayed about what God wants for our church and the church in general in 2021, I saw this list that God wants us to focus on. His heart is for us to grow in each of these areas. The first one was prayer. God is reminding us that prayer is the tool that he's given us to accomplish the things that he's assigned to each of us to do. Praying in the Spirit is a special gift that he's given to us to pray his perfect will. It's also the tool to help us walk through the hard things that come into our lives. Romans 8:26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The second one was relationships. God wants us to be more focused on maintaining connections with the people he has assigned to us. In those relationships that are difficult, he wants us to seek his face as to what changes he wants us to make in how we relate to them. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. The next one was family. God says, don't forget the family. God has placed us in specific families for a reason. His heart is for us to love every family member unconditionally and to show grace and mercy to them like he shows us. Psalms 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. The last one was his personal relationship with him. Most important is that God wants our focus to remain on him and not to let all the things that are going around us to distract us. He doesn't want us to miss his directions or his blessings. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight.
Amen.
It's not unexpected that God would speak to us in common themes. Have you noticed some common themes coming through this? Because it's all God's voice speaking to us individually, right? And so you'll hear some of this repeated in my prophetic word as well. When God speaks to me, he often gives me a verse first, and then the prophetic word to go with it. So I'd like to read that verse from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So I heard the Father say, come closer to me. Draw near to me. This is my heart, that we would be one, so that you will know me as I know you, and you will know how I see you in your full potential. You draw near to me by knowing my word, by worshiping and praying. Draw near to me. Since the cross, I have been shaking the kingdoms of the earth so that those looking for me will search and find me. I will continue to shake the earth in these days, but those with a sure foundation in my church will only see the shaking. The impact of the shaking is to awaken those still in the harvest field. For I will still protect my church, care for my church, and provide for my church. That is why I need my church to hold fast to the hope of Jesus Christ in my kingdom. If you hold fast, I will be faithful to provide all your needs personally and for the work in my harvest field. There is still much to be done to bring in the final harvest. I encourage you to continue to assemble together as the body of Christ to encourage one another with your gifts and calling. Satan is looking for those that stray and do not assemble together. As you assemble together, I will receive your worship and your prayers. In these last days, you will see my glory, but you will need each other to see my glory. Pray over the harvest and then work in the fields I have called you to. Share with others the joy you have overflowing in you. This is still a time of sowing and reaping. How will you reap if you have not sown? You have been given much, so I will expect much. Sow the seeds of my goodness to others. There are still many looking for my kingdom. When they see your faith, hope, and love, they will be drawn into my kingdom. Your joy in me will be your strength in these last days. And as I heard the Father say these things to me, I heard heaven, like a choir in the background, repeating, draw near, worship, pray. Draw near, worship, pray. Draw near, worship, pray. And that's my prophetic word, but I'd like to teach you also a little bit, because when God gives us a prophetic word, it's a prophetic calling, it's a prophetic direction, but he also is asking us for a response, right? A commitment. What will you do with the calling? What will you do with the direction? What will you do with my word? And so I'd like to share a few more verses with you and talk a little bit about this commitment, because Paul understood this very well. And we have in Ephesians 6, the armor of God talked about. And we're supposed to stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18 is the culmination. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Not just yourself, for all the saints. So the purpose of the armor is to prepare us for battle, right? And then we do warfare with our prayer. Praying always in the Spirit, not just for ourselves, but for others. So there's no sense in putting on the armor unless you pray. Is that right? And yet, anybody can put on armor, but it's how the soldier prepares with that armor to make the armor useful, right? So you've heard a common theme of God calling us to know His Word, to know Him, to have the Word in us in such a way that it overflows in us to others, to prepare our hearts with worship and prayer. So the warrior must be prepared if he is to wear the armor. So will you draw near? Will you worship? Will you pray? In Acts 20:24, we see Paul's commitment. It says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. That was his commitment. Nothing else mattered. His life didn't even matter. Just the purposes of God to carry the word of God to others. So will we draw near? Will we worship? Will we pray? In 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, Paul challenges us, and we've heard a challenge today by God, how hard will we compete in 2021? It says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. In other words, be serious about your race. Take it seriously. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man just beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So will we train to win our race? Will we draw near? Will we pray? Will we worship? In Galatians 5, 7, and 8, Paul says, you were running a good race, speaking to the Galatian church. You're running a good race. But who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So there are people who can interfere with our race. There are things and activities that can interfere with our race. And so God would have you ask yourself, what kind of things might hinder me in my training? What things might hinder me from taking that time to draw near, to pray, to worship? I'd like to illustrate this for you and talk a little bit more about commitment. Many of you know that my dad served in Patton's 3rd Army in his spearhead division, the 79th Division. They were the first ones against the enemy. That's what a spearhead is. It breaks the way for the rest of the army. And so in Dad's reunions, we got to meet many of these great men in their 70s and early 80s. And they were always a lot of fun to be around. If you talk to a World War II veteran, they're usually full of life because they almost had their life taken from them. Okay? My dad often said there's no atheists on the front line. You can only afford to be an atheist back off the front line. Because on the front line, these were men of God, different faiths, but you know, at the meetings, we all worshiped together. Didn't matter if they were Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, whatever. They all worshiped together. They all prayed over their meals. We finished the reunions every Sunday morning with a worship service for everybody because they were one. You want to talk about unity? They had unity. They understood it. They knew what to set aside. They knew what to come together about. And so one of the guys we met was Ray Farrell. Ray was a funny guy. He was kind of like the life of the party type guy, you know. And you can imagine this 78, well, he would have been in his early 80s at that time. But he was still the life of the party, okay. And he just had a funny perspective on life and everything. And so at the dinners usually started with Thursday night dinner and then Friday and Saturday and finished up on Sunday. So Thursday night dinner, you usually had to pick out your meal ahead of time, whether it's going to be steak or chicken. Well, he wanted steak, but his name thing indicated just had chicken in front of his plate. Others had steak. Well, he didn't get upset about it, okay, because these guys... Ray said that most of what they got preparing in England before the invasion was something that tasted somewhat like sausage, but it was mostly sawdust. So they were grateful just to get chicken, you know. So he made a joke out of it, you know, and he took the chicken label and he put it on his, you know, covered up his name with it, and he said, from now on, I'm called Chicken, you know. But this was a man that was not a chicken. Let me tell you about his commitment. He was in Easy Company, E Company, and of course every division had an Easy Company, and of course Band of Brothers is Easy Company and the paratroopers, 101st Airborne, but this is Dad's division, Easy Company. The guys in Easy Company are usually the guys that are out front. They're the scouts. So Ray was one of the scouts. Good old country boy from Virginia, knew how to crawl through the fields. And he said his goal each day was to go out hopefully 5, maybe even 10 miles, gather reconnaissance, and come back every day so that the troops knew where they had to focus their attention, their artillery. Imagine, okay, that's your job every day. Go towards the enemy line, through the enemy line, around the enemy line, be in enemy territory, look around, get intelligence, go back and give it so that others can be helped. That's your job. He did it for months. And one time when he was out, a sniper caught him with a sniper round, hit his belly. Imagine a belly shot, Gabe. Sniper rounds, either 30 caliber or 50 caliber, is not a small hole, it's a big hole. And he was by himself behind enemy lines. He was at a high spot, so he crawled and rolled down the hill into the swamp, laying in the swampy water with a belly wound. Tried to bandage himself up with the little field kit that they had, laying there thinking he was going to die. 8 hours later, the advancing troops caught up. They saw him in the swamp, picked him up, took him to the field hospital, sent him back to England to a hospital. By that time, everything was gangrene, And if you know anything about gangrene, that means you're close to death. You're this close. It took him 2 months to recover in England. And then what did he want to do? Go back to the front lines. Be a scout. Go back into enemy territory. Crawl through the brush. He said, sometimes I only had to crawl 3 miles into enemy territory before I saw the intelligence and I could come back. That's all. That's all. And oh, by the way, he was only wounded 3 more times. What is your commitment? There have been great men and women that have gone before us to fight physical war so that we can have the blessing that we have. To fight spiritual wars, my pastor was a Vietnam War veteran. His pastor, who spoke often to us, was kind of an apostle to the congregation. He was 101st Airborne, dropped behind enemy lines in World War II numerous times. Take out key bridges, targets, maybe protect a bridge that was key that they had to cross. Wouldn't you just love to be dropped behind enemy lines? And yet God has called us to be a prophetic people. Isn't that what we're called to? To see what God wants us to do to advance towards the enemy. Because the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So what is God calling you to? He's calling us to draw near. Will you spend time with him? Will you learn his word? Will you worship? Will you pray? What is your commitment? These guys were frontline soldiers for 9 months out in the field through the hardest winter in Germany's history. Two man's tough foxhole, 9 months outside, fighting for our freedom. What is your commitment? And yet when they came back, many of them did become pastors. Many of them became very influential men that shaped our country. And God is calling each of us to assemble our gifts together because we can't do it alone, right? There's not just one gift that does it. It's all of us assembling together with a common goal, putting our differences aside, putting petty things aside, and can we advance forward as a spearhead division for our city, for our area, bringing in the glory of God, bringing in his presence to save others, to give them what we so wonderfully have, overflowing within us. Amen?
Amen.
One of the books that was key to my foundation, I had to look for it after God gave me the prophetic word. I finally found it in my office. It's Judson Cornwall's Let Us Draw Near. If you ever want a good book on drawing near, this is a good book. Judson Cornwall was a wonderful teacher. But that's been a theme, a foundational cornerstone in my Christian life. I read that back in 1977. So Heavenly Father, we just pray that we could draw near to you in 2021, every day. Setting aside those things that really don't matter and focusing on your kingdom, Father. Just as Paul said, Father, let our lives count for nothing, that we could focus our time, our energies on your plans, your purposes, to win the souls, to win the harvest that needs to come in at this time, Father. Use every gift and calling in this assembly, Father. We need each other. We commit to working together for your plans and purposes, Father. But first we will draw near to you. We will worship. We will pray. We will prepare for the battle so that as we draw near, pray, and worship, you fill us up to overflowing where we can pour out to others, that we might be a drink offering to those that are thirsting for you, Lord. We just thank you for your words today, Father. We thank you for speaking to many of us about the same things. The same desire of your heart to draw near to you, to reach the world around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to get ready to receive communion. And if you don't have a cup, please hold your hand up. The ushers have a tray of these. This is our special time of just remembering what Jesus Christ did for us. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So we always remember that. You know, just get a picture, you know, in the Old Testament, I told you the last time that they had to sacrifice, you know, a great big old cow just because you sinned or whatever it was, you know, it was good stuff. But guess what? Jesus Christ did it for us. And now we can give it to Jesus. And so and they had to do it, you know, quite often. I'm going to read a scripture. And if you get ready, you can kind of peel the very carefully peel that top little sheet off. Oops, there it went. Mine. I had it peeled. And we'll hold the bread up. Well, it's in 1 Corinthians 11. Jesus says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And this is what he said. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. You know, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's hold up. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you sacrificed on the cross and you bore all of our sins, our sicknesses, our disease, everything on the cross. And through that, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you was buried in the tomb. And in 3 days, you rose up a new person in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. In Jesus' name, amen. Just go ahead and take it. You're brand new. Hang on here. I gotta. Also, same matter, he took a cup and he said, this cup is the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do it. Do this in remembrance of me. So we just thank you, Lord, that we now have the blood of Jesus from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet. We are new persons. We are totally cleansed and purified. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I believe the ushers have got some like trash bags that you put it in or something or whatever. Or just hang on to it. Thank you.
At this time, we'd like to receive an offering for the house. Also an offering for our guest, Lori Boyd. I'm going to collect that together, but if you could make your checks payable for your tithes and offering to the River of Life and put any kind of gift to the special speaker into a second offering. Psalm 112, it says, he generously gives to the needy, his integrity endures. I don't think it's a coincidence that the scripture combines integrity with giving. Because if you look at the definition of integrity, it says it's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, but it also says the state of being whole and undivided. The state of being whole and undivided, being related with a giving heart. This is the nature of God. It's the uniqueness of the Christian faith. It's the thing that separates us from all other religions of humanity. They would all tell you that there's a way you can work your way into holiness, that there's a way you can earn your way into grace, that there's a way you can build a treasure for yourself through your own actions. But Christianity is distinct as that we are the only believers that say, we cannot do it, but God must come down to us. See, God has integrity. God is undivided. He is God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, but He is undivided in His integrity because He gives. Because He reaches down to us. And if we want to be people of integrity, if we want to be upright, if we want to be righteous, then we display these things in how we carry ourselves, in the integrity we have, in the way that we give to others. Now, I wasn't on the phone call to Lori when she was asked to come, but I can almost certainly say that she did not reply with a musician's response. How much does the gig pay? Musicians will ask that. If you ask a musician to come and play, then how much does the gig play? I'm certain that her answer was yes, with no other expectation. When Jesus sent the apostles out in Acts, he said, don't take anything with you. Okay? Don't prepare, because He didn't want them to be divided. He didn't want them to be double-minded, worrying about supply and worrying about provision while they were supposed to be accomplishing the ministry. God also knew that He was going to set people in their path that would provide for them. And so we ask for the special offering for the guest today, for Lori, because of exactly that. Because her integrity and her character is undivided in the fact that she says, yes, I will come serve. Without any compensation. There doesn't have to be any vocabulary in there about that. You don't have to question my resolve that I desire that the Holy Spirit be ushered in, and that's what I'm going to do. We got a gift for Connor, that steering wheel for his video game. You sit back, watch him do it. This looks pretty easy. Sat down and did it. I crashed a lot. It looks a lot easier to usher in the atmosphere of God through music than it really is. It takes work. It takes work. It takes concentration. It takes being prayed up and prepared to do that. So we want to honor her in that. So if you can just do that for the counting team, though, just notate on your envelope that one's for the guest and one is for the house. If we could stand, we're going to read our proclamation this morning. This is our proclamation according to Malachi 3, 10 and 11. Let's read this together. As we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of the Lord, there will be resources and provision to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to reach souls and more souls from every generation, to be saved and set free by the power of God, the Lord of hosts, will open the windows of heaven over my life and will pour out a blessing bigger than I can contain. God will rebuke the devourer for me. God will protect the fruit of my labor. Praise God, it's offering time. Hallelujah. Give Him a praise. Hallelujah. If we want to hold up our offering here, we're going to pray over this before the ushers come around to collect it. Father God, we just know that You are an undivided Lord. You are the God Almighty, that You are the provider of all, Lord. We just thank You that as we bring our tithes into the storehouse, Lord, as we bring our offerings into Your house, God, that we also be people of integrity, that we also be people that sees the needs and fulfills them. We also people that understand the calling that You have placed upon each of one of us to be givers, to be generous, to help those, to reach out to the lost, to reach out to the broken, Lord. We just thank You that You facilitate this by our offerings. We thank You that you place that blessing over each one of our households. You place that anointing over each one of our homes, that as we give, that we never lack, that as we bless others, that we are blessed in return, Lord. We just thank You that we can step out in faith, we can step out in an undivided heart and undivided mind, and we can just trust fully and wholly to You, Lord. And these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let all the earth rejoice.
Bless us. Bless this church. Bless our community. And again, Lord, guide us, lead us in the direction that you want us to go. Give us the tools and the resources to carry out your plan. And give us the courage to go out into this world that can be so hurtful and ugly and spread your name and your love to all people. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty grace, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, God. We appreciate you being here again this morning. If you need prayer, our prayer teams will be on the south side of the sanctuary for you. And if you feel the need to just stay in the presence of God for a little while longer, please feel free to do that. And we love you. God bless you. Happy New Year. Be safe this coming week. And we will see you back here next Sunday. Amen.